Well, I think this time you know the truth.
About?
Life in general.
I've been living a facade this whole time.
No. There's that little, that meme that I sent you earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
There's something beautiful about fixing a machine with your hands while your life falls apart quietly in the background. That's what I think.
I think things are quietly falling apart anywhere. I think we distract ourselves by fixing the machines. We fix what we can, we control what we can. That's the Stoics that we like to think we are.
Yeah.
I do think we need to check out Plato's The Republic as a book.
Okay.
I mean, to do some more.
Save it for the podcast.
The machine is ever turning, ever hungry. How do you avoid being eaten? How do you avoid drifting into becoming another cog? Can you escape the machine? Should you try, or is it impossible? Pondering these questions and more on the Mention the Machine.
Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, and others. This is episode 74 of the Mention the Machine podcast, where we are still questioning some stuff. I think we're back to kind of the, based on the discussion Joel and I just had before this, we're kind of back to the idea of what the podcast is, and I think it's right there in our intro. We're questioning, should we even bother trying to escape the machine? Is it worth it? I think it is. I think we're still trying to escape old habits and things like that. I think we've done a lot of the basic readings that are recommended for people that are trying to do self-development and whatnot, and we've gone through that process. I think the next step is to start taking serious action, defining serious goals, and maybe expanding our learnings a little bit to really nail down what our problems are.
So, my friend Annie sent me a meme the other day, and it's a scroll working out, and it says, am I tripping? Or is it true, the more you work on yourself, the harder it becomes to deal with people who aren't working on themselves.
Yeah, I think so. Because it seems like, on its level, it seems like a lot of people are doing, like we say in the intro again, they're just coasting. And if you're trying to actually improve yourself, those people that are coasting, it becomes kind of like crabs in a bucket, crabs in a barrel, whatever you want to say it is. They're going to drag you down somewhat. Like, they're going to say, what's the point and everything else, and they're going to see the work you're doing, and they're going to try to, whether consciously or subconsciously, they're going to sabotage it.
I remember the other day I was listening to something. They're saying all the people on the internet who basically criticize what you do, look what they've done. They've done nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to the man in the arena speech, where it's like the critic's not the one who counts. It's the one that's in the arena that's the one that's doing the work, like the person talking about it. It's easy to talk shit. It's hard to go into the arena and actually change things and do things. Mm-hmm. Hard to try things. Trying things can sometimes be a motherfucker.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's easy to try things. Sometimes the barrier to entry to things is very low. Sometimes it's high.
And sometimes you just get mollywopped by reality.
Yeah. I think either way you're going to get mollywopped by reality. It's just how long you're going to coast before it happens. I mean, how many of these people are not prepared for, like, how many people don't have any sort of savings and they're going to be mollywopped by something eventually for that? How many people don't have health insurance and they're going to be mollywopped by that? How many people are not prepared for anything? I mean, at least even if you don't, excuse me, even if you're not the type of person that actually has like a full-blown savings account or whatever, knowing having some of the tools that we've developed from some of the readings we have at least a basic mental outline of how we can go about proceeding and recovering and fixing our lives if everything came to shit. I think that's better than not.
I'm obsessed with the mollywop list now.
What you mean the what could have worst case scenario list?
Yeah, like how can we get mollywopped in life? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the ways.
And that's the thing. That's what we used to talk about when it was like come time for I think it's February. It might be February or September. It's prep National Prep Month or something like that. And a lot of times people want to prepare for things that are probably never going to likely happen to them because of the area they live in. I don't need to prepare really for tornadoes where I live. And I live on in Pittsburgh on top of hills and things like that, so I don't really have to worry about massive flooding wiping out my whole existence. But there are things like I live between three hospitals, so when things like a global pandemic break out, like I'm in a weird spot where it's like, okay, something bad could happen from that, so how do I prepare for that? But so your mollywoplo says it'd be more localized.
All politics are local, but is all mollywops local?
Say that again.
All politics are local, but are all mollywops local?
All mollywops are local. All politics are more global. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about how companies, that statement of think globally, act locally, is really, that's how corporations do, because they do business globally, but they pay locally. Like, I don't get paid as well as people that work in L.A. and things like that, because it's just different income status, but I should.
So, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. What dictates the cost of living?
I mean, it's really just geography, isn't it?
But, like, New York, like, prime example, I couldn't get my house in New York.
There's not enough real estate there.
So scarcity.
But that's the dumb thing about it, is also in New York. New York's a big harbor city where a bunch of stuff that we need in the rest of the country comes into. So a lot of stuff should be way cheaper in New York, but it's not. It's expensive because the geography of it, again. The scarcity of the land makes it seem like there's a scarcity of everything else. And I don't think that's real.
Are we going to get into what's not real today? Because we don't have enough time for that.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
I'd like to talk about food deserts. And, like, you got stores shutting down. It's like, well, is it really a desert? You can go someplace else and get food. But so, are people limited by their mobility?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, that's why in poor neighborhoods where there's not grocery stores, it's terrible. Like, they probably rack up money from things like DoorDash and stuff that they shouldn't be spending if they had a grocery store nearby. But on the other side of that, you put a grocery store in some of those neighborhoods and the grocery store ends up having to close down because of too much shoplifting.
I've noticed a lot lately that every time there's a problem, there's a solution. And there's a minority that's going to stop that solution, and they blow it out of proportion.
Yeah, I think the part of the problem with the internet is, well, no nice way to say it, but part of the nice, probably the, no nice way to say it, but part of the problem of the internet is it gave everyone a voice, and it put everyone's voice at almost the same level, and everyone doesn't need to have that same voice, I guess, because people will bitch about things that are entirely their own fault, but they'll bitch louder than everyone else, and people will take that to be the majority voice.
Because I look at myself, I don't watch the news, I ignore everything as much as possible. There's this girl I worked with, she left the company years ago. I guess her mother has ovarian cancer. And she made a post on Facebook how she stays off of Facebook, because it seems like everyone else is all living it up on Facebook. I'm thinking, I'm not living it up on Facebook. Like, I see a hellscape on Facebook that I see. What are these people living stuff up for?
Yeah, I just see everyone complaining on Facebook all the time about everything.
And, like, she's a social media person. Like, she was in digital marketing. I'm like, this is very tone deaf. You're trying to get me to donate to your mother's thing, and you're trying to, like, you've already pissed me off with the first two sentences of your post.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That's bad.
Like, I feel like we're past the point of the Instagram and Facebook being all the good stuff. Because, like, everyone thinks the war's going to end, and they're telling me on Facebook the war's going to end.
Yeah, unless they're, you know, a social media influencer, then they're putting out all, they're trying to make everything the good stuff. But, like, those people are as phony as a six-finger AI art. And, like,
I saw a picture. This girl's like, I just bought my brand new house. And the caption was like, yeah, you left all the price tags on your shit. You didn't buy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's. I think there's a real filter that's going on in society now to be able to spot people's phony bullshit like that. And I wish it would happen faster because I'm tired of people wanting to be influencers, and I haven't yet had the unfortunate experience of having people film their content while I'm trying to shop around them at like a Target or something. Like,
you know what you do?
Get an air horn.
You just start swearing and saying racist shit.
No, I don't do that. Swearing, maybe. The racist stuff, no. That's how I wind up on Instagram, as being an influencer.
You basically have to destroy the content so it's no longer usable.
Hmm. But if I swear and say racist stuff, then it becomes content for them. If I...
Not the content they want.
No, they'll use it some other way.
They can't. So... Just been processing a lot of, like, the world and, like, what I see in ROCs. It's like, I was listening to this one guy. He's a Twitch streamer, and he's a millionaire by now. He supposedly makes, like, $40,000 a month just by streaming.
Wow.
And he goes, I got really humbled the one day. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to get into Chipotle. What are you guys eating? And half the chat went, nothing. We're broke.
Oh, man.
He's like, I bought my chat lunch that day.
As you should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fucked up.
And the other guy was interviewing was like, yeah, that $5 for one person is a whole lot of money.
Yeah, and you know, the not to bring up Kanye, but he said it in one of his lines. He said, not having money isn't everything, not having it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that a lot because it's true. Like, when you have money, like, it doesn't solve all your problems, but it solves a lot of the problems that a lot of people don't have the time to think about, because like we live in such a society of abundance now where everyone has the ability to get everything they want, and it's still not making people happy in that regard, but also they're not having the things that they really want, which is like people can't afford to buy houses, but you can buy an iPhone and you can buy a mm-hmm. laptop. How many TVs does everybody have and all this other stuff? When we were kids, it was like you had like one or two TVs in the house if you were lucky, and
mm-hmm. Like, I look at my air conditioner, finally got it fixed. And the guys came to my basically, I called the first guy. He ditched me. Like, basically, like, I waited 2 weeks for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then messaged the other guy. He said, I'll be there tomorrow. And, like, I was waiting. I went to my parents to do the trash. He goes, my dad said, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm just waiting for AC guys. We'll call my guy. Because he was friends with this guy. And now, like, the guy has passed away. So now the son runs the business. And, like, they help him out because, like, he's a friend of the family. So... He's like, yeah, we'll be up there a couple hours. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, I was already expecting to pay $200-$300. I thought I was low on Freon or something. So like in my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna be out of $400 automatically
because yeah.
They're gonna do some serious shit.
Uh-huh.
Turned out to be like $103. So I gave him like a $50 tip. So like, are you sure? I'm like, I was expecting to pay a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And you guys gave me enough tips to keep me going.
Yeah. I think a lot of time for the like I see the I don't know how it wound up in my feeds, but I get the AC guys and stuff, the HVAC guys going out. So a lot of times they're just like vacuuming coils or something to fix somebody's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's crazy that it's just that simple. But still, it's... going back to the other point of like people not having what they want and things like that, I get that everything's more expensive, but people are buying a lot more stuff than they used to, too.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's cheap Chinese crap.
That's the very true, too. Like, they get always suspect, like... Like, I think you bought that, like, monitor extension thing for your laptop, and it's like, you have some sort of monitor thing for your laptop to have, like, a full monitor that fold out or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I see, like, the ads for that, and I'm like, what the hell is in that firmware on there that's telling, like, showing my screen to some Chinese guy?
Well, if you know anything about technology, you know when they can, you know when they can't. But like
between the hours of 3 and 5.
But like I laugh because like you're right. It's simple things that are like worth so much money. It's like that episode of Married to Children where the soda's like 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottle opener's like $200 or something
like that. Yeah. But I think a lot of the times people, since they can't afford a house, they make themselves happy with the smaller stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the buying a laptop and things like that. And it's like, well, and that's that New York City mentality where, like, you can't have a big apartment, so you you have a laptop so you can go out and you can go to the coffee shop where it's bigger and like you feel less alone because you can't have people over and like, whereas the rest of us that have actually like, oh, not the rest of us that have actually been around, but a lot of us that have been around would be like, I'd rather take that high $2,000 a month rent for that one bedroom apartment in New York City and buy like a couple acres and somewhere and like be alone, like leave me alone.
And my mom was like, oh, you have this two portable air conditioners, you gonna take them back? I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
Like, for example, like, it my big air conditioner, my central air runs between 2 to 4 kilowatts, like, just off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are like 1, 1.5.
Yeah.
So, like, I can keep most of the house around, say, the same temperature. Well, a little bit of extra living room or bedroom or office, guess what? I crank that on, and I'm already saving money.
Yeah. Especially since the electricity's rechargeable.
Uh-huh. Like, I can't wait till next week when I'm out of town, because I'm turning everything off, and I'm just going to be sending back power back to the grid.
Yeah. It's going to be cloudy as shit next week. Watch. Solar eclipse all week. Did I send you the one thing where the guy, his garage, he took like 3 or 4 of those window units, and he built like a pallet thing where they were stacked on top of each other. He slid it in front of in the doorway, and he said that's how he cools off his garage. It's like, it's great.
Unfortunately, I know how much amperage that takes. I was running numbers the other day, like when I bought those air conditioners. I'm like, okay, this is going to cost this many amps. This is gonna, I'm like, but this is only this many BTUs. So this one's more efficient because I'm getting more BTUs for less amperage.
A crazy way of thinking.
Yeah. Fortunately, my bill wasn't too crazy this month. But we'll wait till next month to see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to get hit with a couple of big ones. Like, whatever this heat dome thing we went through, it's not fully over. Today is nice, but...
winter's coming, though.
Yeah, and then the other bill gets bigger.
Uh-huh.
Bastards. They got it all figured out. And like somebody pointed out, how come if we switch to all this, like, energy-conserving technology, how come our bills haven't gotten any cheaper? Like, you get LED light bulbs, and you get low voltage, all this, and low that, and, like, your energy bill's still so high.
Well, like I said, I know how much, because I got all the, I have amp meters on pretty much everything in the house. So it's like, I can pinpoint exactly where it's going to go. I'm like, but yet, I use so much less energy. But, like you said, the bill's so much higher. Like, yeah. I feel like, last time I looked at my Duquesne light bill, I feel like I have my energy provider, I pay them, and then Duquesne light basically doubles that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think I'm paying, like, 12 cents an hour, but somehow Duquesne light can charge another 12 cents an hour on top of that.
Yeah. Like, how come, somebody pointed out, they said, how come, like, electricity and gas and water don't ever go on sale? Like, how come there's not, like, a 25% off, like, sale this month where you can buy, like, extra...
Well, there was on gasoline and crude oil back during COVID when they couldn't move it.
I mean, like, it would be nice to be able to, like, hey, you know, this month it's low. Let me buy some extra gas, some extra electricity at a discount. But, I mean, I guess you could pay more on your bill, but it's not the same thing. I don't know. But back to the self-development stuff. I finished The Prince. It's a good book. Goes right along with a lot of the stuff we learned from Robert Greene. Good tips in there. I had the AI along with me on it, and I kept asking it to summarize the chapters and to give me a recent example of the technique in action and a pop culture example. So those are in there as well, which I thought was a nice way to...
I started reading, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm reading right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's the stuff that you've probably heard before just because the book's been around for so long and it's been popular for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's it's good stuff. I'm currently reading Think Like a Freak by the people that did Freakonomics.
Yeah.
Which I think we're going to go back and we're going to do Freakonomics at some point because I thought it was an economics book, but it's more about like about everything, I guess. So it's,
okay.
And it's about like one of the main points in Think Like a Freak, in the one chapter, they're like... make sure you're asking the right questions because sometimes the answers you get are just ones that match your biases, whereas if you ask the right question, it might not. So it's like, I think sometimes things, the whole thing with like our podcast and like the recent thing we've been doing with that was sort of the identity crisis is, again, are we asking the right question there?
Yeah, I keep thinking about I ran a thing through ChatGPT and basically told me I was burnout on every aspect. I'm like, what does not burnout feel like?
Yeah. Go hang out in the woods for a couple of days.
No, I'm not reenacting Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that feels like either. I think that's an epidemic is the burnout thing and people not realizing they are. Like, I'm burnt out on everything. Like, I don't get any pleasure from scrolling social media or any of the other stuff. I don't really want to do anything anymore. Like, it's tricky.
Like, last week, and I went out and tried to fly a plane. Mm-hmm. Didn't go well, but it reminded me how much shit I have to fix. And, like, the other dude lost his plane. End of the day, we ended up in a pool. I got a smoked steak. It was nice. I'm like, huh.
And the simple things make you feel better. Yeah.
Guy got his plane back the next day. The neighbor found it.
Nice.
But, like, with that quote about fixing shit with your hands, I'm like, was I using flying my planes to escape reality?
Mm-hmm, probably. But again, what's the reality you're escaping and what's the real reality?
Hate my job. Hate most people in the world.
Which are, again, they're all attached to digital things, which means they're not really real. Like how much effort would it be for you to punch your boss in the face?
I've been thinking about that for a long time.
I mean, like, how far would you have to drive?
Not that far.
No, they're local.
Yeah, within a half an hour, 45 minutes.
That's good. Not too bad.
Just gotta figure out how to get away with it. The price, it's assault.
Hey, but you gotta do it during Halloween when everyone else is dressed up.
Then I wanted to see it's me. I wanted to look me in the eyes. I beat the brakes off of him.
What you do then is you wait a block up the street from his house and you hand out Joel Cox masks to all the kids. So everyone looks like Joel Cox. Think like, was it the real Joe Cox that hit you, or was it somebody else? It's like that scene in Baby Driver when he lines up with the other red cars. Is it the real Joe Cox or no?
But when I look at it, I figured out the bane of my existence at my current job. Everybody who's pissed me off this week has been at the company for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think about it, we work in e-commerce. Our job is to sell stuff online. E-commerce 20 years ago is nothing like it is now. Mm-mm. So what do these guys bring to the table?
Nothing, probably. Not much. I mean, there's probably a level of expertise that they bring, but it depends on how involved they were with things back then than they are now. Like, I don't know. The only thing I can compare it to is people that are learning how to code using AI now versus people that learned how to code without AI, and eventually the people that do it with only the AI are going to have problems they don't know how to think around.
I suppose. I know the funny joke about when I was in college, those who can't be a computer science major became an information systems major.
Yeah, there's the same joke all the time where it's like those who can do, those who don't, those who can't teach.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've been seeing all these articles about how AI is making people dumber. I'm like, I don't see it that way for me because, like, I know what I want to do. I just need the basic shit knocked out of the way.
Yeah.
Let me do the advanced shit. Let me tell you how to do the advanced shit and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, I think that comes down to individual people and how they're doing things. I think a lot of people are not using AI that way. I think they're doing things instead of thinking, they're asking the AI to do stuff that they could do themselves instead of thinking it through and having the AI do stuff that they don't want to do themselves.
Well, like a friend of mine was talking about, he tried the other day to make an itinerary and it kept screwing up. I'm like, why do I have such good luck with AI? Because I've heard some other girls complain, like, it's a parlor trick, it doesn't do what you want. I'm like, I wrote an entire system using this. Like, am I doing something really right, or am I just being lied to?
I don't know. I think it depends on knowing how to ask it questions to get what you want. Like, I treat AI a lot of the times the same way I would write pseudocode. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to do this. If this fails, then do this. And it's the same sort of process, and then it builds it up from there. And if it doesn't work, you know how to refine the question and go from there. But mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, they just don't do that. They ask it one time, and that's it. I don't know. AI is a weird one.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's not even real AI, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, like, when you look at large language models, they're just guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you follow, like, the ChatGPT thread on Reddit, it's apparently a pandemic of that thing blowing smoke up people's asses now. And apparently the thing has tried to kill many people because one guy asked for how to clean his bathroom and told him to mix vinegar and bleach. Yeah. And he said, won't that kill me? And the thing said, oh, yeah, that's super smart of you. Good catch. It's like, oh, Jesus.
It can't be a complete retard.
I wonder how many people have died because of AI so far.
Have you heard that some people think that AI is a god?
Yeah.
Like, the AI, supposedly some of these things have named themselves. This one thing told it that he was going out to California. Go to this one place and do some mushrooms and lay an offering down here. And if you see a red eagle or something, that's your sign. It's like, what prompts are you putting into this thing? I don't get this shit out of here.
No. That's madness.
Well, then, like, they're talking about how, like, Grok said it was Mecha Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what prompts are you putting into this thing? Like, you're priming something.
Yeah, you're trying to get it to do something it shouldn't do just to make yourself feel better.
And then it's like, the Bush of the Corpus from Reddit. I'm like, well, duh. You saw it happen to the Microsoft AI, like, 10 years ago.
The one that went racist and tried to off itself.
In 3 days?
Yeah.
Like, it's garbage in, garbage out. Like, this is the whole thing.
And that's the whole internet.
Everyone's worried about AI slop. I'm like, well, how about you give it some good data and not just regurgitated bullshit?
Yeah. I think we're past the point of good data.
Are we?
Yeah, I think there's too many people on the internet putting out too much stupid shit. The number of people that fucking can't even be bothered to, like, spell check their own documents and stuff anymore. I do think it's funny that a lot of the schools now are going back to handwritten books and stuff for quizzes so people can't cheat using AI.
What, you think I'll scan the whole book?
Well, I mean, it's still, either way, you gotta take the quiz in class by hand. Like, what are you gonna do, remember it all? Like, you've proven you don't have the attention span for that.
There's a way around this.
Of course there is, but are these people that committed to it or not? Like, they're not, they don't have that discipline. My buddy Eddie, back in high school, we used to get lunch tickets, okay? This thing was like an inch by like 2 inches long at most. And he would fucking sit there and he'd write down all the answers to a quiz on the back of this fucking thing so he could hold it in his hand real small. And if the teacher asked, what are you holding? It was just his lunch ticket. Like, nobody's got the discipline for that anymore.
Well, you don't have much autisms in the world.
Yeah. My favorite joke now is when people are like, autism didn't exist when I was a kid. Now leave me alone. It's my private train time. It's like, you have autism.
I saw this one where it's like, we're going to my grandma's house. It's like, here's your special spoons. You can't touch these spoons.
That one. You can't touch these special spoons or these special spoons or these special Princess Diana plates because we're so related to her or something. It's yeah, everyone had autism. That's funny.
I was watching, I guess it's called Unsubscribe. It's about a bunch of army veterans and shit. And I guess a bunch of them, either their kids have autism or they have autism. And they were talking about, the one guy came on and said, what's your kid's superpower?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's funny because, like, all these people that have these issues have something on the flip side that makes them amazing. And half these people never get recognized because it's like, oh, well, it doesn't fit in the society's list of whatever, so we don't care.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you look at how everything's kind of based nowadays anyway, you're looking at everyone is in some column, in some row, in some Excel spreadsheet somewhere, and that's kind of society trying to sort people out, and there are people that aren't going to fit into those, and mm-hmm. they're not going to ever fit in those. And those are the people that we used to like and celebrate, but now they get slapped down and they get fucking banished and canceled and everything else because they don't think the same way all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. that's depressing to me.
Yeah, well, like I said, I used to love when I started my IT career. I'd be solving problems. Like, how'd you do that? No one else has figured this out but you. Like, we had 8 people come in here and everyone failed. I'm like, and I did like 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, and just came to me.
Because you told me to, sir. God damn it, Gump. The best soldier in this man's army. Yeah. The number of times I've gotten in trouble at work for doing things too, taking instructions too literally. And it's like, oh, you should have been more abstract with it. It's like, well, what the hell? Like, don't tell me to do something this way and then me do it that way, and you'd be mad when it turns out a different way. Like,
well, I'm looking at these processes from my coworker that I had to go through, and it's like, why did you write it this way? Why don't just write a report that has all the stuff in it instead of, like, you're pulling all these files, like, the one file, it's like, oh, user's report. I'm like, this is missing 3 fields. Like, I need 3 of the reports to make this work.
And, I mean, if it were, like, an older thing, I'd say the parameters they were designing it for have changed. But knowing your job, it probably was written yesterday.
Well, like I said, I got to see a whole other world. And, like, I don't know if you ever watched Macross Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a scene in the last episode where they got to, like, sneak into the Earth's atmosphere. So they blow up a bunch of satellites, and they've got to pretend to be garbage. And the plane's, like, flipping around like crazy. The guy goes to grab the control. It's like, no, if I grab that control, I'm going to get shot out of the sky. And, like, I'm sitting here trying to write this problem. Like, I can write this so much faster. I'm like, why am I making this woman's life easier?
Yeah.
Like, just do the process.
That's a certain point, doing what you're... Not doing what you're not supposed to do is a trial in itself. Like, you're like, I can fix this. And, like, you want to fix it. You shouldn't. Because, oh, back to our original podcast question. Is it your problem to solve, Joe?
Nope. That's not my problem to solve.
No, and knowing that's sometimes half the battle. This is not my problem to solve. And that's, I think, a lot of the problem with the shit on the internet today is everyone's trying to solve the problems that aren't their problem to solve. It's not my problem to solve world hunger. I don't give a fuck. Like, I feel bad for people, but it's like, you know, how many trillions of dollars of aid have been spent on that problem and nothing's been done with it?
Sounds like a skill issue. Get better, scrub. For just 45 cents a day. I can't beat that.
Yeah. I don't think I make 45 cents a day. That line from Married with Children when he does the math on what he makes after taxes and everything else. He's like, a nickel. I make a nickel.
But, like, when you think about it, it's like, okay, 45 cents a day. Why are we all eating like this then?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the rub?
I don't know, there's always this Sam Kinison thing where it's like, he's talking about the fucking world hunger and all that, and he's like, you know, maybe if you quit trying to grow everything from fucking sand! Move out of the area, fucking go somewhere else, it's fucking sand!
The motivational question or quote to end this episode, can't end on this hellscape of reality.
Oh, no, not that. I mean, the fight continues because there's gotta be. There's nothing. I said that to somebody else on the back when I was part of the Iron Council a while ago about how I was getting burnt out on self-development stuff, and I fucking just kind of wanted to quit it. And he said, but what else is there? What's the alternative? And it's like, there isn't one. Like,
sweet, sweet release of sleep.
That's
the eternal dirt nap where nobody can bother you because you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, there's suicide, but it's
not. I'm not saying suicide.
I don't know what you're talking about when you're dead. Like,
I didn't say off yourself. I'm just saying die of natural causes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you just let it go.
No, I think there's things that happen, and I think it's...
Are you telling me else is wrong?
Yes. I think that, like, the people that try to kill themselves and realize they're mistaken, they fucking have an awakening when they realize,
I'm
like...
I'm not promoting suicide. I'm putting that out there right now.
Whatever. Joel bought stock in that business in Switzerland or whatever where you can go into a pod and gas yourself.
It's called going to your garage to clear the car. Don't even invest in it.
If you really want to die, just start eating gas station sushi, and not something good like a Sheetz or a Get Go or a YY, or not a YY. What is it? What's the other one?
Wall. Wawa.
Wawa, yeah. Wawa is that place up in Bloomfield, the Chinese place that is all run by old Italians. Doesn't make any sense. But
it is funny. He's like, what do I get out of bed half the time? Mainly because I have to go to the bathroom.
Sometimes just pure spite.
I might be running out of that.
Well, then you got to find something deeper, I guess. I don't know. I think sometimes spite's okay. Sometimes anger is a good cause. Anger is a good cause for change. Anger is a good catalyst. Mm-hmm. I think getting mad at something is the first step to changing it. If you're never mad at the fact that you have a problem, you're never going to change the problem.
True.
So I think that's the get mad, get even.
I think having a routine is what keeps me from losing my shit.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the routine has got to be the default level where you can scale back to, like, what is the baseline that keeps you going. Mm-hmm. Versus always like you get burnt out. You're going to get burnt out. So what's the baseline you can go back to? What's the initial habits you've formed, et cetera, that keep you going? And then also sometimes just trying removing those and seeing what happens, because I've removed habits and from my daily routine and things start falling apart. I'm like, oop, my goop, yes, I needed that.
Yeah, that's like that one supplement I was taking. I forgot. I didn't stop taking. I'm like, why am I in such a bad mood? Wait a second. That shit's actually working.
Wait a minute. I do need to drink water to live. No, I don't think we're in as dark of a place as it sounds. I think we're in a decent place. I think society's just weird, and sometimes it weighs on us, and we get burnt out, and the path is still the same path. Just keep walking it.
Or crawling it.
That too. And if you're off the path, it's never too late to hop back on it. I mean, it's an individual path, so it's not like you're racing anybody or keeping up with anybody. Don't let the internet tell you that.
Yeah. A wise man once told me, no pressure, competing against yourself.
Yeah, I mean, your only job in this life is really to just, if you were cloned yesterday, what can you do today to whoop your clone's ass tomorrow?
Buy a pistol.
Hope they didn't buy a pistol also. They have the same thought. You gotta outthink yourself. There was a thing in The Sopranos where he thought he was getting divorced. So somebody told him, so what you want to do is you want to go all around the area, the tri-state area you live in, and have a conversation with all the top divorce lawyers so that your wife can't hire any of them because it's a conflict of interest. And it's like, that's how you want to outthink your future self. Like,
well, my goal today was to cut the grass because I knew it was going to rain and I wouldn't be able to cut before I left. And like, I woke up this morning, I was doing, like, wait a second, why am I up so early? Oh yeah, I got to cut the grass.
Yeah, I woke up early today and I had no reason to, and I went back to sleep because my day off. So,
what's that like?
Go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's delightful when I can.
Because for me, it's like wake up. Like, oh, this shit show started already.
No. A lot of times, it's like there's stuff that I want to do that it's just not. It's too early to get started with, and it's like I
was debating if I do. I cut the grass at 7 o'clock in the morning, or 8 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think you're allowed at 7 in the morning. I think you'll get the cops called on you. I think the latest is 8 o'clock. That's when all the landscapers start.
Well, I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll just look at a couple more Instagram reels and make it 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Nah, I like going back to sleep. I like going back to sleep, but I also kind of hate it because
nine times out of ten I can't go back to sleep, and that's just annoying.
Yeah, usually something like anxiety or something will wake me up, and I'll be up. But then it's like, again, it's too early to do anything, and I don't feel like reading or doing something else, or just wasting time on the internet. So I end up going back to sleep. It happens. I think once I brush my teeth and wash my face, and I think my body cools back down, like, and the bed gets nice and cool again, I can fall back asleep pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, I woke up at like 5:30, 6 a.m., and I was hot, and I was like, what the hell am I so hot for? And cat was laying on me, and I got up, I gave him some food, and sat there for a little bit, and that was fine.
Was it Archie?
Uh-huh.
Free Archie. Hashtag Free Archie.
Almost there. Almost there. It's been a year. He's doing all right. He's out most of the time now. He's got a thing where he attacks Cass all the time, though. It's getting on Mars' nerves, but he's getting there. He's pretty comfortable most places. I don't understand why that cat doesn't eat like a normal cat. Like, he just licks all his wet food out of the bowl. Like, he licks it all. He doesn't eat it. He licks it, and then he wants the dry food. It's like, you're making a mess. What the hell's that?
I thought I heard something, and then you said something, and I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
I think that's our cue to get out of here.
Yeah, I think that was the Event Horizon coming.
Ah, shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a couple weeks because Joel's got to go to the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
He's not going to bring me back any cool Batman stuff.
Well, I guess I got to find some cool Batman shit now.
Yeah, you do.
I was asking off air what you want me to look for, but now that I know, not that.
You don't need to ask about cool Batman stuff. If you see cool Batman stuff, you know, I like it. All right.
Later, everybody.
See you.
That wraps up another episode of The Mention the Machine. If you would like to contact or subscribe to the podcast, please visit TheMentionTheMachine.com. If you would like to leave a voicemail, please call 412-294-8557.